Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today.
Into the book of Psalms for 4 weeks. I'm calling it Summer in the Psalms, Worship, Wisdom, and the Wild Middle. Psalms for the Summer, that's what I meant to say. Sorry. See, I already forgot the name of my own title. Psalms for the Summer, Worship, Wisdom, and the Wild Middle. So over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to take you through a journey of scripture and different psalms. I'm not going to re-preach any of the psalms that I preached 2 years ago in this series. I'm going to do some different ones. Dylan was really concerned that I was going to preach the same messages for some reason up here. I'm going to give you something different, okay, Dylan? This is for you. I expect notes at the end now, okay? Here we go. I want to read this scripture first. So this is not the psalm we're going to touch on, but I want to start here and read this psalm. It's a powerful psalm that I want to kick off our series with. And Psalm 19:14 says this, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." That's my prayer for this series, is that as we jump into the word, that the words of my mouth, as I'm beginning to minister to you, I'm beginning to articulate the gospel through the book of Psalms, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the sight of the Lord, and may it bring freedom and deliverance in your life and help you where you're at today. Amen. Will you open up your Bibles to Psalm 42 now? We're going to read Psalm 42. I'm going to kind of jump around in the scripture. We're not necessarily going to read the whole text, and then from there, you know, come back and hit this or that. We're going to kind of just jump around in this text, and I'll read this and I'll read that. But today I just want to give you a thought and an idea for the next 30 minutes or so about God being the place where we, hear me today, where we are filled to overflowing, where His Spirit is able to flow and is able to fill us. And Psalm 42 verses 1 and 2 says this, "As the deer pants for the water, So pants my soul for you, O God." That's a good one. "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Let's stop right there for a second. If you've never studied Psalms in this, I'm going to give you some context for this scripture. In this season of writing, most scholars believe that it was not David writing at this time. Even in your text, I believe you might even have that it says it's the sons of Korah that were possibly writing this time. I know in my Bible, in mine right here, the top, it says that. A lot of scholars believe that, but it was likely written during the Babylonian exile period or shortly after it. And it, like I said, it's generally attributed to the sons of Korah, who were a group of Levitical temple musicians at that time that did travel with David some and were influenced by his psalms and his songs. And the tone of the psalm here, though, as we can read, it suggests that they're in a time of distress. They're in a time of separation from the temple in Jerusalem. They were in exile at this moment, and they were unable to be in the place of worship that they generally were at. They were not able to be in the temple worshiping. And how many of you have ever been there where a place where you feel like you can't be where you know you should be? Yeah. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where you know you're supposed to be here, but right now you're just not there. And it's leading to this time of almost sorrow. And it's because you're longing for something deep within you that you can't quite get to. And if you've ever been in that place where you've been thirsty before and nothing satisfies it, no, I'm not talking about dehydration. I'm talking about in the spirit. I'm talking about if you've ever been in that place where, man, I'm hungering, I'm thirsting for the living God, and I just still feel dry every time I come into the church. And I still feel dry every week that I leave from this place. I feel like I'm not receiving something. There's something missing. You've been praying, but nothing's changing. You've been going after the things, Lord. You've been seeking His face, and it just feels like every time you go and you go to seek His face, it just feels like a brick wall, and like there's nothing there, and you don't feel His presence. Or when you're worshiping, it feels like you just keep hitting your head on the ceiling over and over again. If you have found yourself in that place, I want to let you know something. Welcome to Psalm 42. That's where you're at right now. You're in this psalm. You're living this psalm. As a matter of fact, I brought something. Who got my sponge? Somebody still want to go get it? Ben's guy, there he is. Y'all know I like illustrations. I'm becoming more and more, every week. I swear, thank you, Ben, I appreciate it. This is what? A sponge. Now, this sponge has nothing in it right now. It is dry, it is desolate, There's nothing here right now. It's parched. So because of that, this sponge, what is it meant to be used for? It's meant to be used for wiping things down, for cleaning things. But in order to do that, what does it have to be? It has to be saturated. It has to be wet. There has to be some sort of liquid solution that is able to be on it in order to actually be used in the way that it's supposed to be used. However, hear this today, the sponge is not worthless, is it? Just because right now it doesn't have what it needs, does it make it worthless? No. There is still worth attributed to this sponge. It is still something that will be usable when it's in the right place. It's not dead. It's not done. The issue isn't the sponge. The issue is that it hasn't been back to the water. That's the issue right now. Can I have that bowl, baby? Thank you. I literally forgot I was doing this morning until I got here. So please forgive me. We got all the stuff real quickly. So now, as soon as the sponge meets the water, what happens is it becomes usable, and you can see the difference. You can see that it's saturated. Now it is usable. Now we can use this properly. Hear me today. I'm using this as an example to show you this. I'm going to show you some more, a little more of this in just a minute, but start with this. If you have felt like a dry sponge, if you have felt like you've been going through a season where, man, I've been praying and going after the things of the Lord, but I feel like the Lord can't use me because I'm frustrated right now, or I'm going through a tough time, or I'm going through a season where I'm just not feeling His presence. I'm praying that today this message is the message that brings you back into the things of the Spirit and saturates you with His presence so that you can become useful for the kingdom and what God wants to do in and through your life again. Amen? So the first thing you want to write down today is this. Dry doesn't mean dead. Okay? Dry doesn't mean dead. Look at somebody say, dry don't mean dead. That's what I was saying, Southern charm today. The first point I want you to hear this morning is just because you feel dry in this season does not mean you are done. Just because you feel like you've been going through the desert season, it does not mean that all hope is lost and everything is finished and there's nothing else good for you. Hear me, Psalm 42, 3 and 4, it says this in the Psalms. It says this, my tears have been my food day and night while they continually say to me, where is your God? Hear me, in verse 4 says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of the Lord with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the pilgrim feast. Hear me today. My tears, verse 3, have been my food day and night. The writers here are being brutally honest with God. They're not pretending to be okay. They're saying, listen, I've been going through some things, and the only thing that's been keeping me fed is my tears day and night. I've been mourning. I've been going through separation anxiety with the Spirit. I've been away from the place that I could have been and where I used to be and where the presence was so evident. I don't know about anybody else. I don't know if you've ever went through a season like that where you felt the presence of God every single day in your car, and then all of a sudden one thing happens, and like for a week you don't even feel His presence. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody be real enough in this church to actually act like a real person and act like, hey, I don't have everything together, and sometimes I get messed up and I get dry seasons and I get these seasons where I just feel far from God? I've been there before. I've been there before where I pray and I don't feel anything right now. Where I worship and I press in, I still don't feel, you know, what I used to. I understand what it says. I don't feel what I used to. There are some songs, I don't know if anybody else like this, that whenever I turn on this worship song, Spirit of God breaks out in my room or my car, wherever I'm driving. Most of them are attributed to some of my around 20 years old phase whenever there was that zeal with no wisdom. Y'all know, anybody know what I'm talking about? When you first get saved, you are going to turn the whole world upside down. Everyone that you've ever met is a sinner going straight to hell, and it is your job as the Superman Christian to save them from Lex Luthor's hell's grasp and give them the same powers that you have. I got some songs like that that bring me into that place where I sense and I feel the presence of God so strongly. But here, the psalmist is dealing with some depression, some anxiety, some loneliness, forgottenness. They feel like they're in a dry and desolate season. But notice is this, in verse 4, once again, even in his pain, he keeps talking to God. Hear me today. That's a powerful word for you. Even in the midst of you feeling dry, desolate, separated, far off, all those things, hear me today. You still need to talk to God. That never stops. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, is what the psalmist said. In other words, whenever I feel the hunger, when I feel the thirst, and when I feel my tears and my sorrow saying, where is God? Anybody ever felt like, where is God in the midst of this season, in the midst of a loss, in the midst of your job changing or whatever that may be for you? Where is God in the middle of the divorce, when in the middle of you losing your children, in the middle of your children going and following the ways of the world, whatever that may be for you? Where is God at? The psalmist says, when I remember these things, when I think on where is your God, I turn on and I pour out my soul within me in a very real way. I let God know, this, I'm struggling here, God. I let that be something that stirs me, not away from God, but brings me back into communion with God. And if the problem is, oftentimes our human nature is this: when we don't understand it, we push everything away. But in the spirit, what we're called to do, whenever we don't understand things, we draw closer to the one who does understand. We draw closer. We draw closer to the one who already knows what's happening within our lives and moving behind the scenes and changing and rearranging things to turn everything around for the good of those who love and are called according to his purpose. So we need to draw closer to God, not push God away in seasons that we don't understand. We let those seasons be something that draws us closer to the Father. Listen to me. You may want to write this down. Dry seasons aren't sin, they're an invitation to seek deeper. Oftentimes we think, because I'm in a dry season, because I'm facing some struggles and some issues right now, because I'm not sensing the presence of the Lord like I used to, I've got to be in sin. Let me say this real quickly. Just because things are going on in your life and you're not feeling the presence of the Lord like you used to, hear me today, that doesn't mean that you're in sin. However, sin will create dry seasons. Sin will separate you from the Father. The wages of sin is what? Death. So we see in Scripture that sin is a spiritual killer for us. And so yes, though dry seasons aren't sin, sin will create dry seasons. So even in times of sin and things get dry, the dryness of your life is an invitation, though, back to the well of the Lord. Amen. Hear me today. I believe this is an incredible truth that we're seeing in this text, is that you don't have to fake it either, but you also don't have to stay in it. You don't have to fake it, but you don't have to stay in it either. You can be real, but not stay there. The truth is this, oftentimes whenever we get in those seasons, we stay there. We set up a camp. We set up a tent and we said, well, I guess this is where I'm going to stay for the rest of my life, not sensing or feeling the presence of God. I guess I just got to stay here and I'm never going to feel God ever again. I'm never going to feel the joy of the Lord again. Hear me. If you don't be careful, you will allow the season of dryness to become every season. And God does not want you to stay in that season. He wants you to step back into his presence, and he invites you closer to him, and he's always there. Because the problem is this, though, oftentimes we grow comfortable in our discomfort. We grow and we learn how to use the resources that we have to continue to stay alive. But hear me, eventually, so this, man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hear me today. You can't live on your own word. You can't live on your own thoughts. You can't live on your own resources. You need the bread of life in your life to continue to sustain you, to feed you, and be what you need. Write this down. Dry seasons aren't proof of God's absence. They're proof of your need for his presence. I'm going to say it again. Dry seasons aren't proof of God's absence because he's omnipresent. He's always there. But they're proof of our need for greater presence in our life. Number two is this. You want to write this down? Other thing I want to say here today is that there's a well that never runs dry. We see this in Psalm 42:7. He says this, deep calls unto deep. At the noise of your waterfalls, all your waves and billows have gone over me. What's he saying here? It's a poetic saying really here. It's beautiful writing. I don't know if anybody's ever actually listened to the lyrics of songs and went, what does that mean? Yeah. There was a song we were listening to yesterday, and I said that. I was like, what does that even mean? I don't even remember what song it was now. So I don't even know what that means. Oh, it was Switchfoot. We were at the Sunshine Hot Chicken place, and they were playing the jams in there. Okay, it was like it was like the millennial playlist in there. Okay, I don't know, but they were playing "Dare You to Move" by Switchfoot, and like "Dare You to Move" like today never happened before. And I was like, what does that even mean? Hear me, in songwriting, remember psalms or songs. In songwriting, sometimes people write poetically to speak of something. And this is a poetic way of saying this, that the deepest parts of my soul, my emotions, everything within me is longing and reaching out for something that is real. My soul is longing and thirsting for your presence in this place, something deeper than just a surface level religion or a temporary relief. My soul is searching for the well of the Spirit of God to begin to build up within me, to begin to flow within me and actually flow through me so I can be saturated by the presence of the Lord again. In other words, as deep calls unto deep is not a shallow answer or some surface level feeling. It is the deepest needing of actually experiencing the presence of God. Hear me today. If you're fake, you're going to miss what God has for you. But listen to this. Surface prayers often get surface results. You have not because what? You ask not. Surface prayers get surface results. Lord, if you just like, at least give me a little. I just want some apps and zerts. I just want an appetizer of your presence, Lord. No, listen. If you need the presence of God, I don't want some surface level sprinkle. I want to be fully submersed, baptized in the Spirit, a saturating of His presence. Lord, let your river flow over me. Lord, hear me today. Let me drown in the presence of your kingdom, God. Let me have the joy of the Lord. That's my strength. Lord, I can't deal with this any longer. I can't live where I'm at any further. And I don't want just a surface level answer. So I'm going to pray for some deeper things and let deep cry unto deep. And actually, hear me, I'm actually going to communicate that as well. Because the truth is this, when you cry out from the depths, you tap into the deep things of God. You tap into His peace and His presence. It's like this, your soul saying, God, I need more than just a good day. I need your presence. I need you in this presence, which is much better than a good day. Because you are good and only good. So you're going to make this day good as long as you're with me. So Father, I need you in this day. Psalmist starts saying, I need a glass of water. No, psalmist is saying there's a waterfall crashing somewhere. I hear the sound of the waterfall, and I need that in my life. I need the saturation of your presence in my life. So hear me today. If you've been in that season, I want you to know today that there's more for you. You don't have to stay where you're at. There's a river. There's a well. There's a spring that's always flowing, that you can go to. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 4, we know this, that Jesus meets the woman at the well, right? Who's been running on everything else in life, doing it all her own way, satisfying her soul through relationships, inappropriate relationships, routines, reputation, all these different things. And guess what? None of it's working. So she comes to the well to draw water, and Jesus shows up and says, hey, I know you came here for a sip of water, but there's a well that doesn't run dry. There is something greater. You came from water, and I'm here to show you that there is a river that never runs dry. And I want you to hear me today if you're in this room. And you feel like you've been living your life off of your reputation, off your status, off of what you can do. Jesus is always the well that never runs dry. And we have to continue to come back to the Father so that we can be poured into. He doesn't just hand you a bucket He becomes the river that is living and dwelling within you. I'm going to give you five ways. Make sure I counted right. Yep, five ways. How now to go to the well that doesn't run dry? You say, Pastor, you're talking about this well that doesn't run dry. How do I get there? What is that? That sounds very metaphoric. Well, let me help you with it today. The first thing is this. You got to pray real prayers. First thing is pray real prayers. What do I mean by that? Don't sugarcoat your prayers. I know I'm not saying fill it with expletives, okay? But you pray real prayers. You tell God what's really going on. Lord, as deep calls unto deep, I'm praying a real prayer. Tell God what's happening. Hear me. Scripture, I believe it's David who says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Hear me. He's interrogating his own emotions and feelings in that moment. Why am I downcast? Sometimes we don't even know why we feel certain ways. And that's why we have to pray real prayers. Lord, why do I feel this? Lord, illuminate within me what it is so I can rid myself of it. Lord, Holy Spirit, help me understand why I feel this way whenever this happens or this person shows up or I get this phone call or maybe I visit this place. Lord, what is it within me, God, that is creating this? Lord, I need this for myself because I need to get free from this because it's blocking the presence of your Spirit in my life. So, Lord, I'm interrogating myself and my soul and I'm asking for the Holy Spirit to be the helper right now and illuminate that so I don't have to live in that any longer. You got to pray real prayers because the truth is this. If you just go, Lord, I just thank you that I'm not going to feel that anymore. That's great. If you believe in magic. But hear me. The truth is this. Until you deal with the roots of your problems and the roots of situations and issues and you get really restorative healing, which, by the way, only comes through the power of the Spirit. Unless you get that, you're going to continue to face and follow the same problems, the same issues, hitting your head on the same things, and we have got to begin to pray real prayers. Hear me, prayer isn't about getting the words right. It's about getting your heart open and actually communicating to God. It's funny, because if we're truthful, many of us in this room are more filtered with God than we are our friends. And we will tell our friends everything that's going on, and we only talk to God about a couple things. When really, in a lot of ways, it should be completely flipped. He is the one that's going to help heal you, not your friends. Well, he's going to be the one that helps restore your marriage. He's going to be the one that helps and is the ever-present help in time of need. So you need to pray real prayers, amen? Number two is this, how to get to the well that doesn't run dry. Get in the Word. The Word is water, and the Word is a well. Numerous times in Scripture, and I'll give you these references so you can go look for yourself so you know I'm not a liar. Ephesians chapter 5, Isaiah 55, and John 15. In those three, and there's numerous others I could give you this morning, but I don't have time, is the Word is referenced as to like water. And the truth is this, the Word will water you, even if at first it doesn't feel like it is. Because consistency leads to breakthrough. Anybody ever picked up your Bible before and huffed once you picked it up? Don't you dare look at me and act like you have never done that. Your pastor has done that. Where I picked up the word. Okay, now I got to read this three verses 19 times to understand what the psalmist was saying so I can move on to the next three verses. I don't talk about that. Sometimes that's the way my brain works. I got to read it over and over again to actually understand what's happening there. And the truth is this, though: consistency leads to understanding, and the understanding of the Word refreshes your spirit, man. Refreshes you. It waters you. It brings life to you. So hear me today: if you want to get to where the well is, and if you want to get where Jesus is, what better way than to actually receive of his actual word, of the things that he has spoken. The things, well, Pastor, I don't know where to start. Well, start in the Gospels. Just read the Gospels. Start there. Maybe read some Psalms. Read Proverbs. Start some places like that. And just start somewhere and be consistent and let the word begin to water you. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says this, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord like a tree planted by the water." Psalm 42 is what it feels like when you're desperate for the water. Jeremiah 17 shows us what it looks like when you've learned to stay rooted by it. Psalm 42 shows us this is what happens when I'm far from his presence. Where Jeremiah 17 is showing us this is what happens whenever I'm consistent in the word where the water is, where I can consistently be fed, where I can consistently be rooted by his presence. The psalmist, they cried out for a drink, but Jeremiah describes someone who had already had deep roots and didn't panic when things dried up around them. Number three is this, worship anyways. We talked about this a little bit already, but you need to worship anyways, even whenever you don't feel it. Because the truth is this, worship opens the well, and hear me, worship in dry seasons is warfare. I'm going to say it again. Worship in dry seasons is warfare. When I'm going to throw this iPad in a second. When you feel like you don't want to worship, guess what? You need to worship. Can I be honest, vulnerable, for real reals in this place? Not for play. I've come in on Sunday mornings before. And things start going wrong. And you got to understand a little bit about me. I have an attention for detail. I have an eye and an ear for detail. And if things are not the way they should be, I'm not going to lie to you. It agitates me. I get a little bit in the flesh. Okay? I'm being real. I get a little bit. Fix that, please. That's horrible. And as a pastor, you can't say what you want to say about things oftentimes. You got to saturate things. Can we just please fix that? Fix that, please. There's other mornings where I come in like, the piano's not working, the speakers aren't working right, whatever it is, the computer's deciding to do whatever it wants one morning, things going all right, we got things missing. We're like, where is everything? What is going on? Can we just leave now? Or we get up in the morning and our kids, and bless us by helping us grow in kindness and patience and long-suffering. They're watering the seed of the Spirit within us, right? The times you feel like you don't want to worship, and the moments that you need to press in even greater, it's warfare in the spirit. It pushes you beyond where you are right now. And sometimes the breakthrough doesn't show up until you praise. Hello, Paul and Silas. Hello, Saul, whenever he calls for David, the minstrel, to come and play skillfully upon the harp. Psalm 42 and 5, we're in this text, 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, is what Scripture says. Hear me. The word yet there is a word of faith for us. I'm not feeling it, but I'm choosing it. So that's what he's saying in Psalm 42, 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope in God, for yeah, I'm going to praise him anyways, because I'm going to choose to praise the Lord. Number four is this. I promise you I'm coming too close. Get in the house of the Lord and be consistent in the house. The psalmists here that are writing, the sons of Korah here, they longed to be back in the temple they longed to be back in the house of God. Hear me. The people around you are wells for you. The people in this room as we're worshiping together, oftentimes, the wells of the Spirit get stirred up in corporate worship settings. And sometimes you need somebody else who isn't going through what you're going through to praise in the same room as you and some other people to praise over here, some other people to praise there, to begin to stir up a praise within you so that you can experience the well that doesn't run dry. So hear me today. So there are some wells around you today that you need to be around whenever you feel dry, amen? Number five is this. Last thing, how to get to the well. Preach to yourself. Treat yourself by preach to yourself, okay? You got to preach to yourself. Here we go. Write this down. It's a strong one. Stop letting your emotions dominate the mic of your mind. Stop letting your emotions, your feelings dominate everything that's going on in your life and in your mind. The psalmist here, they tell their soul what they're going to do. Why are you downcast in my soul? But yet, I will praise the Lord. But yet, I will do this. In other words, sometimes we have to tell our soul, hey, I don't care what you feel right now. My spirit is saying we're going into the presence of the Lord and we're going to praise him, and I'm not going to live in this spot any longer, and I'm not going to allow my emotions to dictate every feeling that I have. I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide me. In Psalm 103, it says this, verses 1 through 5, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It was not just a whatever's name who wrote that song, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is scripture, and it goes on to say this, and forget not. This is a preaching to yourself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not, because there's been some times and seasons I've been going through, and I've been forgetting all this stuff. And now I got to preach to myself. Stop forgetting. Have you forgotten all the great things that he has done? Forget not all his benefit, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Sometimes we got to preach to ourselves, and whenever we have forgotten how good God is, and we've forgotten all that he's done for us, and we've forgotten what he's done for us, our family, and we've forgotten what he's done for our friends, and we've forgotten that he redeemed us from the curse, and when he forgot that there's a greater life to come, that there's something even beyond now, when we got to remind ourselves and preach to ourselves and say, forget not all the things that the Lord has done. And you got to tell your soul that. Amen? Amen. Pastor Don, if you'll come play. I got to close. So we're seeing today, once again, go and grab some towels, somebody. I promise you, I'm not going to pour it on you. Okay, you know what? I'm not going to make a promise I can't keep. I might not pour it on you. Huh? Maybe I should just get Dylan up here since he wanted this message so bad today and just pour it all over his head. And I was, hear me. It's one thing to dip in the well. Now the problem is, eventually, after we're used for the things of the Lord, eventually we become dry once again. And we got this reservoir within us that we can kind of dip into. Oh yeah, this is good. All right, Lord, thank you, God. You put this within me, God. Thank you, Father. And then we're once again at this place where we don't have much left. When visiting the well, it takes us from just having a reservoir. And it takes us to a different place. Because when we visit the well, there's something that doesn't... What I keep saying, it's a well that doesn't what? Doesn't run dry. Which means this. It takes... We put ourselves in these moments where we are struggling. Lord, I'm pulling from anything that I got left. But when we visit the well, it's like the well of a spirit being poured in. And it just keeps on pouring. It's overflowing. And now there's an overflow of the presence that consistently, if I had more water, I would pour more water. I don't care. It's this carpet. It'll dry. Hear me. What I'm trying to show you today is if you've been dry and you've been going in all the depths of everything that you can grab and all that you can do in the reservoir that you've had, God continues to pour in and pour in and pour in and pour in if you'll allow Him and go to the well. Give Him a shout of praise. Stand to your feet today. What I want to do. I just want you to bow your heads for a moment. I'm gonna be honest with you. Just bow your head, close your eyes just for a moment. While studying, I was studying for myself, and I had to preach this message to myself this week. And I know there's people in this room. You say, Pastor, that's me. I felt like I've been in that season. Maybe you're not feeling distant from God, but maybe you're just missing the joy that you once had of your salvation. Maybe you are feeling distant from God. Maybe you're just missing the peace of His presence that used to be there. And with all heads bowed, all eyes closed, if that's you today, I want you just to lift your hand just as a sign of just saying, yeah, this is me today. I need this. That's you. Just stay there just for a moment. Nobody looking around, just keep your heads bowed, eyes closed for a moment. This, I'm not having you raise your hand because I want you to come forward or anything like that. This is a personal sign of saying, I'm connecting with this word today, Lord. I'm giving it to you today. Will everyone in this room just lift your hands to the Lord? I'm going to pray over us this morning. If you'll pray with me today, if you have your prayer language, come on, let's just stir up the Spirit of God in the well in this room. Father, I thank you right now. I thank you for every hand that went up. Lord, you saw those things. Lord, you know about those things. Lord, you know about those that are going through different seasons of anxiousness and depression, frustration, Father. You know those people that are in this room that have lost the joy of their salvation, that have lost their peace. That some of them have even felt like they've lost everything. Lord, I thank you that you, in your Spirit, are washing over them today. Lord, that you're saturating them with your presence. That you're reminding them that they are loved by you. That the joy of the Lord is their strength. That there's peace within the presence of God. That at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Father, I thank you, Lord, that there's a fresh reminder, God, that we don't have to stay in the season that we're at. But God, you're leading us into something greater. You're leading us into something better. Lord, that you're pouring out your Spirit on all flesh, Father. So God, I thank you, Lord, that right now there is a watering of your Spirit that's taking place in this room today. I thank you for a restoration of joy, a restoration of peace, a restoration of grace, a restoration of the rivers of living water that do not run dry. So God, we thank you for it now, and we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, will you give God a hand?